The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Commence.
Good morning, everybody. This is Molly Kidd, and I'm here with Ted Leidy. And hi, Ted.
Good morning, Redding, and good morning, Molly.
Yes, good morning, everybody. We're here filling in for Linda and Carl Bott. They're on vacation this week.
And we're having a great time doing it. We've got a great lineup today.
We sure do.
It's nice and cool out this morning. I'm a happy man. I do the cold very well. I don't do the heat well. So, Molly, tell us how it looks outside.
Right now it's 54 at the studio. We're going to have a high of 61 today with a low of 53. And the weather is brought to us today by Shasta Gas and Propane. Our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated. They give senior and veteran discounts. So give them a call at 365-3793. And, yay, it's going to rain today.
It is going to rain today. I'm excited about that. We've got a great lineup today. We've got Angie Watson-Walford from Take Back Reading. We've got Cowboy Up Think Pink. And we've got our sheriff, Tom Basenko, coming in. A lot of good news to report. Angie Watson-Walford is one of the leaders in Take Back Reading. Good morning, Angie.
Good morning.
Angie made a great speech to City Council last night. She waited approximately, I think it was about 2.5 or 3 hours, for them to go through their agenda listing so that you could read your approximately 2.5 minute speech. It was met with resounding applause.
Thank you.
Now, before we get started, just tell me a little bit about who Angie Watson-Walford is and why should we listen to you?
Who is Angie Watson-Walford? That's a really good question.
Why should we listen
question.
To you? I mean, really, are you just another complainer on the street? Or, I mean, who have I got in front of me here?
Okay, let me clear that up. I am not a complainer on the street. I am actually extremely passionate about this town. I absolutely love Reading. I hate to see what's happened here, and I want to do something about it. A lot of times we hear from people that they want to get out there and say something, and they just don't know how. And the truth be told, I don't know how not to.
Love it.
Excellent, excellent. And you are a college professor.
I am. I'm a college instructor, a real estate broker, and I've done motivational speaking, so a little bit of everything.
And a mom and a grandma.
I am a mom and a grandma, yes.
Good for you.
Most important.
Good for you. I completely agree. So who is Take Back Reading? I mean, what are you guys all about?
So Take Back Reading started in January. We are a Facebook group, although we've met in person, and then we do a lot of different emailing and social events. And so what we are all about is bringing change to the town, and we have a few different areas that we focus on. We focus on economic growth and really pushing for it in the area, because I believe if we can bring change in that area and be proactive, it's going to change the future of our area. We also discuss public safety and look a lot into the drug problems and what's going on and mental illness, but not too much because of the reality is there's so many people going in that direction. And then we just are taking a look at the laws and trying to work with the sheriff's department and different people, seeing what we can do to bring change.
Excellent. And so how many times have you spoken to the city council?
I've spoken 3 times now. I'm pretty sure that they are tired of hearing what I have to say, but we are going to keep coming back.
Good. Good. That's excellent. You know, they didn't look tired to me last night. They looked like they knew you.
They did look like they know me. I was hoping not to be escorted out the door, but I think it went okay. So
I thought you did very well. I really did. And you know, I went to the city council meeting just to see the interaction between the council and the public and the interaction amongst themselves. And quite frankly, I mean, I thought they did pretty well on their conservative messaging last night. None of them had read the public safety report, which, you know, whether it's true or not, it's a nice place to stand, a nice neutral place to stand. And actually, Brent Weaver mentioned messaging to the public.
So that came up a couple of weeks ago because I had mentioned when I spoke that we don't hear anything about what's going on with public safety. It's everybody's main concern. People are coming in there talking about it week after week, and there's no updates. So he did an excellent job of coming out at the beginning and stating, here's what's going on, and giving us a little bit of feedback. I also believe because that public report statement came out the day before, they were on the lookout. They knew people were going to be there asking questions.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that while I was in there. So it must feel kind of good that you're kind of steering them a little bit with your speeches, right?
I'm hoping that we are. Let me just say, nothing would make me more excited than to see just an amazing city council out there being very proactive and to see our town moving forward. So I'm not there to complain because I'm a complainer. I'm there because hopefully, as an advocate for our community, we can bring change and kind of light a fire. And it goes beyond the city council. That's our opportunity to talk with our city manager, too. And everybody wants to hear what the plan is. What is his vision for this town? What's going on? Are you just sitting back letting things happen, or do you actually have a plan to make something happen?
Yeah, after the meeting last night, I thought Kurt Starman did a pretty good job. Again, he went to the position of neutrality, and the update isn't completed yet. But then you said something to me. It didn't affect me as much as it affected my dearly beloved at home. So you said to me, he makes $325,000 a year. And I knew it was a lot, but I didn't know it was that much. And it didn't really affect me because I don't begrudge any man out there doing what he can do for his family. It doesn't bother me at all. If you can get $325,000, then get $325,000. So I drove home. And that's incorrect, someone call in and tell me it's not right. I don't know what it is. So I drove home and I get the rundown to Lisa, and I said, so I guess Kurt Starman makes $325,000. She said, what? I said, yeah, that doesn't seem like a lot. She goes, hospital presidents don't make $325,000. I said, ooh, okay, well. And then all of a sudden I went to the point where it's not a matter of the money. It's a matter of the job. Now I'm thinking, man, for $325,000, could we have somebody that really pushed, that really communicated clearly and messaged clearly? I don't know. I just don't know if that's the case or not. But it is a lot of money. Seeing how I drove home, I drove by Casa Ramos going north on Hilltop, and I saw 7 transients right in front of my home on the corner there of Riverbend and Hilltop with bikes turned upside down that were dismantling them. I didn't know what they were.
Yikes.
Dismantling bikes. Yeah, it was a whole bunch of shopping carts. I mean, it was very poignant for me. And it helped my conversation with her, obviously, once she said that. I had not thought about, $325,000, whatever. That's just a drop in the bucket to a city, But it's really not. And it's a lot of money. And we should probably, to your point, be expecting performance for that, right?
This is going to lead us into a great conversation. So let me say the $325,000 is a compensation package, so it includes everything, but he did just get a raise. So that being said, too, the city manager is in charge of also the planning department. So when you take a look and you say, what is he doing for his job? We're in the process right now, or they're in the process of hiring a planning manager. This is one of the most important things that can happen around here, because what a lot of the city council or the city manager denies is what's going on with the contractors or developers. I meet with developer after developer after developer, and they are so frustrated that they are tired of doing business in Reading. Mm-hmm. They state time and time again that they won't do business here because they're redlined over and over for different items. The city doesn't know what they're doing. They're expensive. They do everything that they can to stop business from coming in, and they deny that, yet we keep hearing it over and over again. The city manager should be doing every single thing he can to bring business to this area, because that is going to change the community. If we can bring in jobs and these kids can have a future to look forward to, and they can grow up and know, wow, I'm going to do this when I get older, I have opportunity, we can change poverty in this area, and that leads to drugs and everything else we have going on in the streets.
One of our Chat Pack listeners wants to know, why do you think they're going to make that second draft confidential? I mean, why do you think that is?
I'm just thinking they don't really want us to know what it says right away. They want a chance to defend it. They want a chance to have changes made. They said last night there would be several changes made. One comment by Francie Sullivan was that she was absolutely shocked at the response and what they were saying to do. And I 100% was not shocked at all. We have been going in as a community saying exactly that for months and months, if not years. How could you be shocked? Everything that was said was that we've been saying as a community.
I agree completely. Not only you, but everybody I know. My father, I mean, everybody says the same exact thing, and they're kind of united in that conversation.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So the fact of the matter is, to say they're shocked, and I heard Brent Weaver say it alarmed him because of it bashed some of his perceptions or something like that.
Correct.
I think it's probably honest because I think they get busy. And I'm not sure that they see everything that we see all the time. In addition, there's a little bit of the human condition that says, it's not our fault. You know, it's not me. It's not us. It's going to be something else.
Let me quickly say, it's their job to know.
It is their job to know. And we're going to go to our first break. Bad Bob, what do you got for us, brother?
Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us, we will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your deliveries. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchard. Joe at Weaverville's been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
A few years back, a state agency called regarding a large shipment of new cars that had a steering problem. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. They informed me shops all over California had looked at them, but no one could recommend a solution. The problem was, one front wheel turned quicker and farther than the other, causing erratic steering. Front wheels should turn together. Our inspection revealed a major steering component was incorrectly mounted from the factory. We fabricated a gauge to demonstrate the difference in travel from side to side, while a state supervisor observed. Then we relocated the steering component as indicated by our gauge. A test drive by the supervisor proved excellent. He had only one question. How long will it take to do 1,200 cars? Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California. 45 years in business and loving every minute of it.
Sip wine. Sample microbrews. Enjoy specialty appetizers and a sit-down dinner. Sway to the Lou White Band. Raise your paddle for live auction items. Bid on silent auction items. Purchase a balloon for special surprises. View video of rescued animals. All this and more at the 8th Annual Bark Wine and Brew Gala, October 3rd at Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Supporting Haven Humane Society as they protect the lost, abused, and abandoned animals of our area. Purchase your tickets online at havenhumane.org or call 241-5262.
It's time for better banking. A bank that makes your small business a priority. A bank that understands how to help your business succeed with professionals available for you and growth strategies for your businesses. Bank of Commerce is that bank. For over 30 years, Bank of Commerce has been the bank of choice for businesses. At Reading Bank of Commerce, we partner with your business to work with you on a plan that supports your vision and goals. Reading Bank of Commerce, bank of choice. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Back to Free Fire Radio, Bad Bob, great music selection, September from Earth, Wind, and Fire, back in that good 70s music. Molly, what do you got for us?
Well, I want to let you know this portion of the show is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy and his team of professional NRA instructors provide the most complete CCW training in Northern California. For a limited time, an NFI will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for our Shasta County residents who take a basic CCW course. So you can register online at readingccw.com or call the NFI at 999-1822. And there was no pressure right there with the Ted Leidy sitting next to me.
No pressure. Excellent.
We'd also like to thank the Reading Civic. For 45 years, the Reading Civic Auditorium has been an important community resource for many venues of entertainment. The Reading Civic invites you to become a civic member. By becoming a member, you will strengthen the community connection, and we think you will love the benefits. There are several memberships available. You can find out more at readingcivic.com or at the Civic Box Office. We'd also like to thank Four Winds Jewelry at 2225 Hilltop Drive in Reading. You can call them 222-2750. They are a full-service jewelry store providing the finest selection of jewelry in Northern California. And I know Linda's got a lot of jewelry there, so check them out.
Excellent, yeah. Here with Angie Watson from Take Back Reading. Thank you for joining us today, Angie. Again, great guest. Great job last night at the city council meeting. So it was clear to me that a lot of what you have been telling the council they needed to do, they're going to be doing whether they like it or they don't in the future. Right, because that public report's going to come down, and they're going to steer. So, what's next for Take Back Reading? Once they continue to dig into those issues, what's next for you guys?
I don't know if it's going to be as easy as they are just going to go for it when they get that report back. As you heard last night, there was a lot of talk about how they were shocked about it. They're going to hold off in a few different areas. They even mentioned last night they didn't want to get started on some of the items until that report came back. And so, to me, it's time now. There is no time to wait. Gary Cadd had stated last night, it's time that they do something. They can't sit around and do nothing. A few weeks ago, they voted in a raise, and Gary Cadd had made this statement. How in the world can we give raises right now when we have kids coming in here complaining about heroin in their schools? We have problems with public safety, and we're giving raises to city members that are already getting paid good. So my job now, Take Back Reading, our community job, is to, now that they have these raises, they have the money on the table, to make them work for their money. Go out there and let's see what they have next. We have mental health issues that are severe, that have been out there for years, and nobody's been doing anything about it. We have job issues. Tell me where these good jobs are. Bring them to town. A few weeks ago, they were there, and somebody was presenting on the courthouse coming up, and he talked about in 2017, they were building the courthouse, and it was going to bring all of these jobs. And they were so excited. The city council was falling over themselves with excitement about these jobs coming in. And the gentleman had mentioned, yes, because I know that your people from here, citizens and residents of Reading, have been driving to these jobs all over the place in the state, jobs that we have. And they were just so excited they were coming here. And I'm thinking, are you not embarrassed that this man is coming here and telling you that he's bringing you jobs in 2 years and you're excited about it? Are you doing nothing to bring jobs here yourself? Let's do something about ourselves and not wait 2 years for a courthouse to be built, because we have so much crime that we could fill this courthouse.
Agree. And you know that, yeah, the pay raise issue, the pay raise issue was just, I don't know whether it was they didn't have a chance to modify the timing on it, or if it kind of came over them in a tidal wave and they didn't know what to do with it. But that has something that's been in the works for like a year. So I would agree that it just shows poor messaging and timing. And you know, every time a message goes to the community that is not well received, you had the opportunity to give them a message that could be well received. In other words, you could have gave them, we all think about pay raises as being merit-based.
And it was a merit-based pay raise, so.
Right, and I would agree that there are problems on the streets. How much that they can exactly affect, you know, still has yet to be seen, and we're going to find out. But I think that was just a bad timing moment for them. I really do. And especially after all I've seen, you know, if you see, there has to be 20,000 people on anti, you know, or I'm concerned Reading Facebook pages and websites.
I agree.
You know, so let's just say that things continue down the road they're going. We kicked the can down the road a little bit on the shopping cart ordinance, which I have no problem telling you at first I was totally against, because I thought they were blaming the victim. I cannot stand organizations that blame the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Molly, have you ever been blamed?
Have I ever been blamed?
Yeah, when you were the victim?
Yes.
Yeah. I was blamed.
I think everybody has, and it's not a good feeling.
Yeah, I was blamed, and they never solved the crime. I was blamed because I left my vehicles in the console of my truck locked up in my garage. So, you know, I'm the victim. So, and I was blamed. That was
my
fault.
Yeah, people blame. I see it all the time.
It
people
drives
are like,
me
oh,
crazy.
Why did you do that? That's your fault. Yeah. Sorry that I thought that we lived in a safe community.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's not okay to see the streets like they are. It's not okay. You know, people tell me, oh, it's like this everywhere. No, it's not. I was in the Army for most of my adult life, and I lived in numerous places. I lived in Portland, Oregon. Okay? Even there, I felt safe.
I want to say, too, people say all the time, you know, it's worse in other areas. It's not that bad. One, it is bad. It's really bad out there as a business owner and owned in downtown. But second of all, are you really going to wait until we are the worst place in the world to stand up and do something?
Yes. Yeah. Stockton was once a nice place.
Exactly.
And
you watched it deteriorate. A few weeks ago at the city council, the owner of Dutch Brothers came in, and he was talking about the impact it has on his business and how he's worried about his employees. We are seeing that everywhere. Another business owner said that she had to taser somebody outside of her work. This is impacting businesses, and when businesses close down, not only do we lose the safety in the area, but you lose money coming in that pays for law enforcement, mental health services, and everything else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It looks like we've got a phone call. Who's on the phone?
All right. Terry, you're on the line. Welcome to KCNR.
Good morning, Terry. Ted Leidy here with Molly Kidd and Angie Watson-Walford.
Hey, thank you, guys. Good program. I've got a question. I just tuned in, and maybe you'd covered this, but the Record Searchlight had went ahead and gotten some information. Number one, that the police department is staffed up to where it needs to be. And I know that Chief Paletti said on this program that he's got four more guys coming. He also made mention that he was a million something under budget. So where are our COS officers?
CSO.
Our community service officers, where are they?
You know, I'm not sure. Gary Cadd last night said that we needed 10 more.
Right.
And it's a hard number attached to a metric that will cause me to vote for a tax increase. That's really the only thing I'll do.
Okay, but the thing you've got to understand is that the community officers, according to Chief Paletti, cost $80,000. All right, so if you have 10, that's $800,000. Now, the chief said that they're a million something under budget. Well, if they stay at budget, they've got the 10 officers. So, okay, and they're up to staff when it comes to police officers, and he's got four new ones in the hopper. So maybe someone can explain to me, because those are the facts, how this equivocates into raising more money for more officers when we clearly have the money, plus a $200,000 surplus.
You know, I am not all the way sure that I want to speak on the chief's surplus.
No, I'm just
I don't know if he's
maybe
got it.
Somebody could call in and...
Yeah, well, the chief comes in here quite often, and I think Bad Bob can make a note, and we may ask the chief the next time he comes in about that $1 million surplus. I'm not sure that he said he had $1 million surplus.
He was $1 million under budget.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he has a surplus. That means it probably went someplace else already. They probably have tagged that money to do something else with in the city. But I don't want to speculate because that's not my business. But
sure.
That's a very good point. You know, mm-hmm. If they have $800,000 and we need 10 CSOs, which Gary Cadd said we did last night, then I would be a pro for hiring them.
Okay, well the thing is that if you are under budget, does that money go to the general fund? Does anybody know the answer to that? Because if that goes to the general fund, that's one thing. If that stays in the hopper as a rainy day fund for the police department, then that covers our CSOs with a $200,000 surplus. So I guess that's the question, and I know the chief was very open about this as far as having four guys in the hopper and having a situation to where, you know, they're going to be up to staff, and we've got new cars, and we've got a new station. So really and truly, someone just explained to me why we would ever even need a tax.
You know, I'm completely agreed on that, and really, I'm pretty sure they're not going to leave that in the chief's hopper. That's
also,
just me.
There's a clause that needs to go in that law if they go for tax. It's called anti-supplementation, which means that the money that is raised for a specific thing has to go to that specific thing. In other words, they can't go through the back door and say, well, you know, we need this money for something else, and actually, you know, we're going to kind of move it here to move it there. So when that's written, that's very important that we have that clause in there.
I completely agree. All right. Well, we got to go to break. Terry, my brother, thank you for the phone call. right, and we will definitely bring that up to the chief on the next next interview when he comes in.
Sounds good. Thank you.
You bet. Bad Bob, take us to break, my brother.
Owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave servicewomen. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic
a better time.
Foods, there's a bar.
Oh, I love
bar
it.
Bar Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Hey, hey. All right, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Leidy and Molly Kidd, along with Bad Bob and Lee Luft from Cowboy Up Think Pink. But first, we've got Dr. Danuka, one of my very good friends, on the phone. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Ted. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, a great shout-out to you. You have trained me and my wife and my daughter in the firearms. When I started holding the firearms up, first in my 40s, and you have trained us well. So great shout out to you. You're a great instructor.
I love it when you bring the family out. I love it when you bring the family out. We just have a great day, don't we?
Yes, and I wouldn't have anyone easily train my family unless I'm sure about their competence and how you train us. That's just great. Just a great shout out to you, man.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
So the reason of the call is I'm just amazed and shocked at this disconnect which Pleasant City Council has shown in increasing their salary when our economy is still in a bad shape, our public safety is still in a bad shape. As business owners, I know we are the victims of property crime, and it affects our clients, it affects our patients, it affects our staff, and they say they don't have the money and they don't have the tools to fix that, but they can increase their salary. Correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that after two terms in civil in the city council, they're entitled to lifetime medical benefits.
I can't correct you, but I wouldn't be surprised. I know they get medical benefits while they're on council. Can someone in the chat pack help us out?
That'd be really good. My understanding is that, my understanding is after two terms, they're entitled to lifetime medical benefits.
Yay.
And so there's a great disconnect that they're increasing their salary when our economy is still in bad shape and our public safety is in bad shape. And how can they do that? Don't they have any accountability?
Well, I think
don't they feel responsible for it?
I think that's what the community is trying to do, is make them, is hold them responsible for it. And, you know, things have to be pretty bad for people to go sit for 3 hours through a city council meeting since they moved the public comment time to the end of the meeting. People have to be pretty serious about sitting through 3 hours of, you know, stuff that really doesn't pertain to them, nor are they interested in, just to be able to address the city council. And I really give people like Angie, who go and sit for that meeting just to make the three minutes of public comment, I give her a lot of credit for that, because her message was exactly what your message is, Dr. Nanuka. It's bad. It was just bad timing and a bad decision.
It seems like an arrogance that they think that they are untouchable and public has no recourse.
Well, I meant to ask.
They're sure of their elections.
I meant to ask Angie if she thought she had enough numbers to get the signatures for a recall, you know, and if they had even talked about that. Probably a little early to be talking about that, but always, I'm sure, in the back of people's mind. Always, I'm sure, in the back of people's mind.
And I guess they have enough money they can collect to get elected, and they're sure of those elections, so they do not respect public opinion at all. Is that what's going on here?
That was, in my opinion, what was going on. That they, you know, they.
So, if someone could check on this, I think they are entitled to medical benefits after two terms. If someone can check on that, that would be even more discouraging to see that despite of all this, they can increase their salary themselves. Why should they have the right to do that?
Yeah,
so that's
well,
all I wanted to say.
And I know the city council doesn't make much money at all. It's just a stipend, basically. And the medical benefits would, of course, be the biggest prize for them. Bad Bob is on the internet right now, and he says he can't find it.
Okay. I see where people who retire directly from the city get their benefit, and there's a clause in there about while they're serving, but I don't see anything about a life. You may be confusing that with Congress, and I know that Congress gets lifetime medical for one term, but I'll keep looking, Doctor.
Okay, thank you very much.
Dr. Nuke, have a great day. Tell that beautiful bride of yours hello for me. Molly, who do we have in the studio with us?
Yes, we have Lee Left here, the president of the Reading Radio. And so I'd like to welcome you into the studio. Welcome, Lee.
Thank you for having me this morning.
You're welcome. And we know you're here to talk about something that's coming up through the month of October, and we're kind of kicking it off down there at the Reading Rodeo grounds, and it's Cowboy Up, Think Pink.
That's
Think
correct.
Pink's Cowboy Up. So tell us a little bit about what that means to the Reading Rodeo and how you guys kind of got started with it.
This actually happened, this is kind of a spin-off of our Friday night event during rodeo. tough enough to wear pink.
Yes.
And through the years, we weren't quite getting the response that we were hoping to get at rodeo time. So I kind of came up with this concept to have a standalone event, and it's kind of taken off from there. So, you know, 6 years running now, and I'm pretty happy with the way things are going. And this actually is the breast cancer awareness kickoff event, if you will, mm-hmm. And that runs clear through October then.
Yes, so it's exciting, and it's happening this Saturday, the 19th, and it's a steak feed. Do you know what the live auctions are, all of them yet?
I know some of them, and, you know, first and foremost, there's a Remington Model 870
yes.
pink camo shotgun
yes.
From Sportsman's Warehouse. They've been very supportive of this year. And then we have a Ultimate Sports Package, excuse me, which allows the winning bidder to go to any sporting event across the United States.
Oh, wow.
Be it football, baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever.
Wow.
And the only thing that's not in there is NASCAR. So
I was going to say, does NASCAR go in there?
No, it doesn't go in there. But that gives them a round-trip flight, two-night stay, and two lower-level tickets to any sporting event across the United States. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, we got two CCW classes from Ted Leidy. So you and your partner, spouse, friend, whoever can go together. That's a live auction. So thank you, Teddy.
You betcha. I look forward to seeing you guys.
Yeah,
I remember when you did that the first year, and those sold very well, and they've been well received ever since.
And that's how you and I met, right?
Correct.
Before you went to work at Sportsman's Warehouse,
exactly.
You were on my range. Didn't you win one of those?
No, my wife did.
That's right.
Yeah,
excellent.
She won one.
That was a fun class.
Yes.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, so we got two CCW classes coming together, mm-hmm. so a couple can go.
Yep.
And that should be that should really, you know, I mean, it's a good fundraiser. We do a lot of donations. I think I have about 25 of those gift certificates out right now, throughout the community. And they always,
wow.
you know, they always bring a few bucks, and every buck counts.
Well, and especially for this, you know, breast cancer awareness, you know, I'm not going to go out so far as to say I think we're probably the largest donor to NorCal Think Pink because of this event.
Mm-hmm.
And we raise a lot of money, and it's always a great pleasure to hand them over that check every year when this is done. So, you know, Saturday night, gates open at 5, dinner at 6, live auction right after that. And then Northern Traditions out of Chico be back.
Yes.
And if you people like good country music and traditional country music with a – I'm going to say one of the most outstanding fiddle players I've ever heard. This guy is amazing. But these guys are really good. I'm glad to have them back.
And tickets are only $25, so it's extremely reasonable for a date night. You get steak, the whole meal deal, and they have a silent auction. I went last year, and it was just a totally fun time. I dressed up in my pink and my cowboy boots, and it was a great time. And they have cocktails and all sorts of fun things.
Yeah, we do have a large time, let's put it that way.
Yeah, I went the year before last, and it really, really enjoyed the dinner. Unfortunately, I'll be in class this year on the 19th. Yeah. But that's okay. I'll be there in spirit. Let's go to the phone. Sally, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I just wanted to weigh in on what you were talking about a few minutes ago about the city's compensation package. They only get medical benefits after they have been on the city council for 5 years, which means they have to be reelected. That would be a two-term city council member.
Thank you, Sally. And then,
yes.
And then those benefits, do they last for the rest of their lives, or they have an expiration date?
Now, that I'm not sure of, but I know they have to put in 50%, and then the city puts in 50%.
Okay, so it's really not a great parachute like you might think it is. I mean, 50% is quite a bit.
Yes, it is. And not only that, well, Gary isn't even taking a salary.
Well, good for him. And that is symbolic in nature, basically, because it's not much of a salary anyway.
Right. About $600 a month is about all.
Right. You know, during the Revolution, our great leaders, most of them denied their salary also, turned down
yeah.
their salary also. So good for Gary.
All right.
Thanks
Thank
for the
you
phone call.
Let me weigh in.
You betcha.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, back to Cowboy Up Think Pink.
Yes.
So anyway, I went a few years back and loved it. I was in charge of escorting the gun down there. Speaking of guns, I got to mention, Lee, I love your Second Amendment t-shirt you have on.
Yes.
With your cartridges.
Good shirt to wear in here.
Yeah. Well, I thought I'd better come in here armed.
Yeah, that's true. This is an armed studio. Now, I noticed a lot of the folks at Sportsman's Warehouse have those.
Yes.
Were they a gift from somebody?
Yeah, we were just able to sign a list, and we were able to acquire these through work, and certainly I'm proud to wear it, that's for sure. So.
It looks excellent.
Yeah.
It looks excellent. All righty, so it's time for a break. Okay. Bob's on the phone. Let's go ahead and Bob, you want to take us to break, brother?
Yeah, before I do that, I just wanted to, that was Terry on the phone. He actually contacted somebody, and the way it works, when somebody is elected, they get the benefit immediately, but after they've been reelected to another term, then they go on a 50% plan, and that lasts. So it's pretty good perk, but no, they're not getting all their medical paid instantly.
Okay, so now we know that. And I think we probably, Dr. DeNuca, thanks for bringing that up. And thanks for making it clear to us, Bad Bob, Sally, Terry, and everybody else that called
in. And with apologies to animal lovers, I think we've done whipped that horse.
We have whipped that horse.
Wellgate Sports Club invites you to their grand reopening gala on Saturday, September 26th, a day of food, fun, friendship, and fitness. From noon to 2 p.m. is open house with class demonstrations, live music, and refreshments. Take a guided tour of the Wellgate facilities. Experience five-star service, white glove cleanliness, and high-end amenities and programs, including an indoor saltwater pool and state-of-the-art workout facility. From 5 to 8 p.m., you'll walk the red carpet and get your picture taken by paparazzi as you enjoy the Wellgate Sports Club evening gala in support of One Safe Place. Sample exquisite cuisine from several local area restaurants, as well as the finest North State beer and wine featuring Mosley Cellars. Enjoy live music by the pool featuring Bob and Andy Off the Charts, the Lindsay Thomas Band, or inside entertainment with DJ Bobette. The evening festivities include artists, door prizes, and a silent auction with all proceeds benefiting One Safe Place. Call 768-1205 and reserve your complimentary tickets today. And join us Saturday, September 26th at Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing signs!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
For 45 years, the Reading Civic Auditorium has been an important resource in the North State for entertainment, fundraising events, trade shows, and conferences. In the past 3 years, over $1 million have been put back into this iconic structure. We invite you to be a part of the Civic's revitalization by becoming a member. We think you'll love the benefits, and your support will help to sustain its revitalization and strong community connection. Visit ReadingCivic.com or the box office to become a Reading Civic member.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Baby, baby, it looks like it's gonna hail. Baby, baby, it looks like
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. I have with me Molly Kidd and Lee Luft from Cowboy Up Think Peak. I've also got Diane on the phones. Diane, good morning.
Hello, Diane.
Hello, Diane.
Oh, lost her.
Diane? Oh, looks like we lost Diane. Okay, let's go back to, let's talk a little bit more about Cowboy Up Think Peak. Now, the Reading Rodeo Association, different than the Asphalt Cowboys.
Correct.
Completely different. What is your guys, what's your mission and vision?
Mission and vision?
Yeah, you know, what are you guys responsible for? What's your claim to fame?
Putting on one of the best rodeos in the United States.
So your job is to put on the rodeo.
Correct.
What are the Asphalt Cowboys, they're fundraising.
They're fundraising. They're an affiliate group. I think they are kind of designed to help us along the way as far as, you know, getting the word out there and things like that.
Mayor Redding native interject here. The Redding Rodeo Association is the descendant of the Shasta County Sheriff's Posse, which was formed back many, many years ago by the county sheriff as an auxiliary back when there were a lot more horses in the area. They were a mounted unit who could be called out to assist the sheriff, so they were the sheriff's posse. With modern times, that has evolved into the Reading Rodeo Association. Just my dad was a member for many, many, many years. So,
and you're very correct with that. A lot of people kind of forget, you know, the old days. If you ever chance to come down to the clubhouse, we got a lot of history sitting up there on the walls from when it started, from Sheriff Balma to current, and it's really cool to see, you know, some of the old historic photos and stuff that are in the clubhouse there.
Do you guys have that two-story clubhouse right as you come into the rodeo grounds?
No, that's the Asphalt Cowboys.
There's the second one.
In
the same.
There's
the
even
same
signs
location
on there now. I made sure there's a sign to Reading Rodeo, then there's the Asphalt Cowboys.
You guys have a little bit of a competition going on, right?
Well, I just made my sign a little bit bigger. Oh. That's all. Well,
good for you. I know it's by invite only, so I'm gonna come down there and educate myself a little bit on it. So I'm gonna ask.
Please do. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you.
It's fun. It's a fun place to go visit.
Oh, I've heard a lot about it. And Carl's actually invited me down there with him a few times when he gets invites. I just showed up for the rodeo and, you know, head over to the beer booth or the Coke booth, depending upon whether I'm carrying or not. And I don't get inside much.
Yeah.
So, good. Good. I'm very happy to get down there. You and I will talk about that, Lee.
Yeah. You're more than welcome. And any event that we got going on, just let somebody know and we'll take you through the clubhouse and show you this stuff.
How long has it been the Reading Rodeo Association about? How long?
67. This will be 68 years.
Wow.
Wow. And before that, it was the Sheriff's Posse.
Yes.
That is incredible.
So, like I said, that's our job to bring one of the best rodeos in the country to town and the best cowboys and the best stock. And we try to do some community events along the way to help kind of show back, you know, give back to the community, if you will. And this is one of the ways we do it.
How many members do you have?
Approximately 70.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, we're looking for members, but because, you know, when you get this caliber rodeo here, it takes a lot of people.
Yeah.
Lots of people.
And they work so hard during rodeo week. I experienced it this year. It's my first rodeo week at KCNR, and let's just say I needed 2 weeks of vacation afterwards.
Did you get your 2 weeks of vacation? How'd that work out for you?
No.
Okay, that's
right. Although
I
did go to Cabo like a week and a half after, so yeah, I got 5 days off. It was a blast.
and that's funny because we never stop.
Yeah, you don't. I see
we,
you guys.
We're already selling tickets, mm-hmm. and we're sellers selling sponsors for next year. And we were selling those. In fact, we sold tickets the day after the rodeo for next year.
Love it.
So it never stops for us.
So those boxes around the arena, those are sold out every year, right? And have been for years?
Pretty much Friday night and then definitely Saturday night, those boxes are sold out, yes.
Yeah, and aren't they held from year to year by their owners?
Yes. And we have a list of people waiting to get, you know, a waiting list for those boxes. So
yeah, that's what I thought. That's really good. I remember when... you remember when, I mean, he might still do it, but Tony Lewis Productions used to put on the PBR here. Does he still do that?
I don't think he does anymore. But there's the PBRs or the bull ridings, they're kind of dwindling because simply the bulls are better than the cowboys.
Yeah.
And they really don't want to do this anymore.
Are you kidding me?
No, I've that's kind of the that in my opinion that's the trend that I see right now.
So the what you're telling me is the Cowboys are becoming injured more and more. Is that it? Is that what's happening?
Injured, and like I said, the genetics in these bulls now that's going around. These bulls are phenomenal. They're fantastic athletes, and we just can't keep the guys coming to keep trying to get on these bulls.
Wow, isn't that something? Isn't that something? But that's good messaging. If the PBR ever wanted to come back, it'd be like a man versus beast thing, like it is.
Yeah.
But and we still have local vendors or local ranchers that produce those types of athletes, right? Bulls.
Yeah. You've got Don Kish down in Red Bluff, and you have Jeff Davis just outside of Cottonwood here, and they have some really good stuff, and you'll see them at the National Finals Rodeo in December every year.
Yeah, I went out to Jeff Davis's place a month or two back to do some firearms training with some folks in his family. You know, that's a real cowboy house back there off of Gas Point Road. Those people still live exactly like they lived, you know, back in the day, minus the $50,000 pickups and and all the other amenities. But
and good life.
It's a good life, and cattle like on the lawn and laying around, and flies and chickens, and you know, it's really amazing. And then all of a sudden you got this $500,000 home sitting there with these flies and chickens and cows and all that. I mean, it's like, wow, I love it out here.
Yeah,
it's really nice.
What a life.
Yeah, it is a really, really good life. I really enjoyed being out there with him. He also donates, speaking of Jeff Davis, he also donates a hunt for NWTF youth hunt every year. He lets us bring a youth turkey hunter out there.
Good.
That has never turkey hunted before, and to introduce him to the sport. So definitely country people are definitely big promoters of youth.
Yes, they are. And I think, and I remember when I was a kid, you know, we were come one, come all. You know, we had an open door, and I think it still is today to a certain degree. And I think you can't go wrong taking a kid to the country and let him have some fun.
Absolutely.
Or taking a kid to the rodeo.
Yeah.
That too.
Oh, my boys love it.
Man, let me tell you something. You get a kid at the rodeo, it's kind of like shooting. You know, if you ever have a hard time getting your kids to spend time with you, take them shooting. Just say, hey, you want to go do some shooting today? I've never saw a kid just look at me and go, no, not really. No, they're like, yes, where do I load up?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, we got to get in the truck first and get out to the range. But yeah, that's always a yes. The rodeo is always a yes, too. No matter how old they are, they'll go to the rodeo.
Yep.
Well, and the demographics around here prove that. You know, you've got the old rodeo people, and then you have the 18 to say 27-year-olds. They go to the rodeo. They'll see it, but it's all about the fun experience, you know, in the back or whatever the case may be, you know, at the bar or whatever. But they rodeo's for every age. That's what's kind of cool about it, so.
Yeah, I remember when Carl and Linda and Lisa and I went to the rodeo last year, the year before, I forget. But there was about a four-year-old boy standing on the chair next to me with waving a flag, cowboy hat, belt, toy 45 long Colt hanging in a holster off, you know, went all the way down to his knees.
Oh, the horror.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I took about 15 pictures of that kid to use
so
in my
cute class.
Well, you know, we're very familiar with firearms, and that goes to prove it. You'd never see that in any other country on the planet, I'll tell you that.
No, not like that.
They'd arrest him.
Around here, they'd throw the parents in jail and put the kid through re-education.
Yeah, no kidding. But anyway, Lee, it was great having you.
Thank you. Appreciate it very much.
It was great having you. I'll see you at the store, I'm sure.
Yep.
And Lee, where can we get the tickets for the Think Pink?
You can buy them at the gate the day of, on Saturday the 19th, or you can get them at readingrodeo.com.
And just FYI, I actually have some here at the station, so you can come see me, Molly, over at KCNR, and I can sell you some because I have some in my purse. So.
Oh, that
is helping
excellent.
Out with Think Pink, so I'll be there. Right. You know, and we're still accepting silent auction items, too. So if you're listening and you want to donate but you can't make it, there you go.
All right. Thank you
very much,
guys.
Good. You bet, Lee. Thanks for coming in, man.
All right.
Good seeing you, brother.
I just want to go and say right now it's 54 outside the station, and we're going to have a high of 61 today. And all of our air today is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. We are locally owned and operated, and they give senior and veteran discounts. So thank you. We'll be back in just a few minutes on KCNR 1460 Free Fire Radio.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Linda Kenyon. 15 Republican presidential candidates square off in two debates later today, SRN's Greg Clugston reports.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Library is hosting the second GOP debate, which will include two separate groups. Four candidates with the lowest poll numbers will participate in the early debate, while the other 11 will share the primetime stage. Two political outsiders, Donald Trump and Ben Carson, lead the polls coming in to this second debate. Greg Clugston, Los Angeles.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is vowing to block the president from lifting sanctions against Iran.
McConnell's threat came after Senate Democrats blocked a second attempt to force a vote on the Iran nuclear agreement.
I will file an amendment that would prevent the president from lifting sanctions until Iran meets two simple benchmarks. It must formally recognize Israel's right to exist, and it must release American citizens being held in Iranian custody.
McConnell vowed the fight will continue.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. A Hungarian court has found an Iraqi man guilty of illegally crossing the border. It is the first conviction based on a new law meant to stop the huge flow of migrants into Hungary. Media reports say the judge ordered the man expelled from Hungary and banned him from returning for 1 year. Two huge wildfires in Northern California have now consumed more than 800 homes, but firefighters say they're gaining ground. Fire evacuee Martha Grimm says she and her husband lost their home.
We didn't have a chance to react. It was here. And we got out with the clothes on our back. And all of our memories, everything is gone. But we're alive, we're safe.
CAL FIRE says the wildfire has burned through 105 square miles. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off, so I made the call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
Everyone is talking about War Room.
This is my favorite place in this house. I call it my War Room.
Hi, this is Alex Kendrick, co-writer and director of War Room. Pray with us that God continues to use it to impact millions more for His glory.
War Room, starring Alex Kendrick, Priscilla Shirer, and T.C. Stallings.
You need to do your fighting in prayer.
War Room, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Now playing. Tickets and showtimes at warroomthemovie.com.
Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has told Russian media he will not quit under foreign pressure, saying it is a decision for the Syrian people.
There is nothing new in this message from President Assad. From the first days of the Syrian conflict, when he was facing unarmed opposition from anti-government street protests, he's framed it as a battle against terrorism. What has changed is the timing and the circumstances. International attention is refocused on Syria because of the refugee crisis and the rise of IS. Mr. Assad and one of his main backers, Russia, are pointing to this as proof that their stance has been correct. But whatever he may say, many Syrians still see Mr. Assad as the primary problem.
BBC correspondent Sebastian Usher reporting. International observers in eastern Ukraine say that a ceasefire there has been holding for 2 weeks now. More than 8,000 people have been killed in fighting between Russian-backed separatist rebels and Ukrainian government forces. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Linda Kenyon. Hewlett-Packard is preparing to shed up to another 30,000 jobs.
The cuts will take place within the newly formed Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. It's a bundle of technology divisions focused on software, consulting, and data analysis, which is splitting off from the company's personal computer and printing operations. The target means 10 to 12% of the 252,000 workers joining HP Enterprise will lose their jobs as part of the company's effort to reduce its expenses by $2 billion annually.
Correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Rescue workers continue their search today for four people still missing after Monday evening's flash flooding along the Utah-Arizona border. Powerful floodwaters washed away two vehicles carrying 16 women and children, killing 12 and leaving one missing. Three survived. 20 miles to the north at Zion National Park, a group of four hikers were killed in flooding caused by the same storm system. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is Molly Kidd, and I'm here with Ted Leidy today. We are filling in for Linda and Carl when they are on a fabulous vacation. We have in the house right now Tom Bisanko. So good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
And really quick, I'd like to thank a few of our sponsors. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service to all models and makes of heating and cooling systems. Warranties guarantee 7 days a week and 24-hour service. Alliance Heating and Air, call 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. I'd also like to thank Cicada Cantina. My husband and I went in there the other day, and we had dinner with our family, and it was such a great family atmosphere. And they've really revamped their food, and they've got some really great fusion-fueled food right now. And there was like this new noodles that you put into tortillas. It was something different I'd never had before. It was kind of like a Mexican version of spaghetti-ish, like pasta, but it was Mexican, and you put in the noodles, and it was fabulous. So I'd like to encourage everyone to check out Cicada Cantina. You can call 638-4979 for reservations. And I'd also like to thank Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, is your place for great coffee and more at Espresso Joe's, serving caramel macchiato and every other coffee you can imagine. So walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in California, proudly serving the finest in your tobacco needs. Tobacco and Brew, where veterans always get discounts.
Tobacco and Brew, a staple in our community.
Absolutely.
Good morning, Sheriff. How are you?
Good morning, Ted. How are you doing?
Good. Boy, a lot of news in the past 24 hours. I'm not going to ask you too much about the safety update because I know you're not going to tell me anything about it anyway. It's not finished. I get it.
Right. It's a work in progress, and then it has some areas for growth and improvement for our organizations, but unfortunately, the draft was released out, and we're still working on it. So it's kind of like the book isn't done yet.
I have noticed that you have quite a Facebook presence. 2,308 friends on Facebook, and the Sheriff's Office has 3,494 likes.
Yeah, we have a Sheriff's Office Facebook page, and then I have a personal Facebook page that's kind of more just as me, as Sheriff, and the political side, and so I can put a little bit more other things on there.
I enjoy reading and keeping up with you on Facebook. Even though you were mentioned in the draft, you seem to be escaping any of the heat that's coming down on the city. Do you think it could be because your Facebook people have access to you more on a daily basis and they feel like they know more about Tom Bisanko and his office?
I don't know. I don't think so, because I know that Chief Paletti, he is also a presence in the community. He gets out and about going to community events, mainly within the city because that's his jurisdiction. And then he's held quarterly town hall meetings, had a huge one that just packed the civic auditorium. So he gets out and about too. So it can be a number of controversy. There was some positive. There is some positive in the draft as well that was released. Unfortunately, a media outlet didn't report on the positive aspects either. It was mainly focused on the negative,
as it usually is.
Generally,
unfortunately.
Yes.
In addition to your Facebook page and your Sheriff's Office Facebook page, you also have the Retire Tom Bisanko page.
I've seen that one.
Done by Benno, right?
Well, actually, it was. I think it was stood up by another lady that had a number of run-ins with us and would attend a lot of city council meetings up in Shasta Lake. Was subject to a recall in Shasta Lake, And then was at the Board of Supervisors quite a bit.
Oh, okay. I got that. 169 likes on that Facebook page. But I'll tell you,
can't make everybody happy all the time.
But really, that would be crowning for me if I was you. If they set up a Facebook page saying, retire Ted Leidy, you know you're affecting the community. Okay.
And people are talking about you. That's good.
That's good. I mean, like I said, you can't make everybody happy all the time, because if you do, you just have mediocrity.
That's exactly right. Someone's not thinking that. And really, that means you're really affecting the criminal element, as far as I'm concerned, because there's a lot of that on here. But one of the first posts on this states that you refuse to issue a CCW with somebody with a 215 prescription. Now,
that's correct.
There's a lot of confusion in the community regarding that. Now, I happen to know the black and whites of it, but could you reiterate that for the community?
Well, for what a 215 recommendation, for those that you don't know, is a medical marijuana recommendation to use marijuana and grow marijuana for medical purposes. Marijuana is still illegal under state law if you don't have your recommendation. And it's still illegal no matter what under federal law. Also, there was a memo put out by the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Unit, Bureau, BATF, and it said basically if you're a marijuana user or have a 215 card, you can be denied purchasing of a firearm. There's a whole long, big questionnaire you have to fill out when you purchase a firearm, and if people do it honestly and put that down, they'll be denied a purchasing of firearm. And that became an issue here locally with a local gun store that did that. The person challenged it, got an opinion from the gun store owner, got a opinion from BATF, and he was correct and denied that. And so I continue to deny it too.
Oh, yeah. I
we also deny it. There are some people that come in with some heavy prescription medication, both for maybe chronic pain, some psychotropic medication. And we deny those as well, because sometimes my staff has talked to some people that have some very chronic pain, and they are so under the influence of their pain medication that their speech is thick and slurred, they have slow motor skills, and so that's not a good combination. It affects judgment, it affects decision-making, their motor skills, and so that's not good.
In just to let everybody know, though, I just talked to one of those people last night at the city council meeting. No, not 215. Oh. Someone that had been in an accident and was on pain medication. And he said that your office was very cordial, told him that at that time they didn't think it was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But once he rehabbed and finished his pain medication rehabilitation, then to come on back and try again. So good for them. I mean, it's not a specific type of harassment deal. It's life. Right?
What we do is try and save people money too. We'll do a pre-screen of the application, and because once you submit your application and pay all your fees, the fees are non-refundable. So we don't want to get people upset. But if they submit their application, my staff can look at it and say, yeah, based on what we see here, absent running the fingerprints, looks like it would be approved. If they see some red flags in there, they tell the person, and it may not get approved. If they say, I don't care, I want to submit the application, we'll accept it, but with the caveat that the funds are non-refundable.
And, I talked to one of those folks yesterday, too. I guess he got man-punched, some dude in the pie hole a few years back. And I always tell the same thing. I always say the same thing. Hey, look, go ask the sheriff. Is the office prepared for that kind of walk-in person asking questions, or how do they do that?
They can. They might have to wait a little bit if it's just walk-in to ask questions preliminarily to get that out of the way. And if there was something in a person's past, let's say it occurred, maybe somebody had a drunk driving or a driving under the influence or impaired driving, 10, 15 years ago, a misdemeanor, that doesn't mean that they'd be excluded from the process. If they had it 15 weeks ago, yeah. Same thing for something maybe occurred 20 years ago. So we do look at basically everything that we know about and make a recommendation there.
So they would be submitting an application without a training certificate, because they're not going to go to training if they're not going to get a CCW. So they would just submit the application, and then your office would look at it and then contact them and say, yay or nay.
Right. And sometimes that takes a little bit. The state is California State Department of Justice is way behind on running the fingerprints and processing some of the information. Sometimes that can take up to 4 to 6 months. Once in a while, they get hung up at the federal level. I've seen one at the federal level take almost 6 months. Mainly it's checking the fingerprints.
Yeah, in some counties, they wait for that to come back before they do an approval.
We do as well.
Yeah, well, you do a preliminary,
yeah,
and then a final when it comes back.
That's
clean.
Correct.
That's a much better way to do it, because then all you have to do really is send out the permit in the mail once it's approved.
That's correct.
So in some counties, they will go in, do an interview. They will do local checks. Then they'll go back, do a live scan. Then they'll wait for the preliminary approval or the approval from the DOJ. Then they got to go back. And,
oh, wow.
And I mean, it's like a 3 or 4 trip deal. So we've really got it going on.
It takes quite a bit. I have there's 58 counties in California, and about 30 of my colleagues give me a call, ask for some guidance if they're setting some new programs up. But we've had some people up here visiting from other counties as well. And so I try and be a resource for them, especially some of the new sheriffs that are getting into it. A friend of mine down in the Bay Area, northern Bay Area, gave me a call and said, hey, what about this? And he had been an undersheriff, but he was wanting to know more from a sheriff's aspect of it. And so he issues quite a few within his county, improvement from the previous sheriff. Not saying anything derogatory about the previous sheriff, but he just issues more.
I have been lucky enough to go down and work with Margaret Mims' office down in Fresno County.
She's a big supporter of the Second Amendment and of the CCW process.
She is. She is, and she knows you.
Yeah, oh, yes. And, we're good friends. We came in to being sheriffs at the same time.
Yeah, and do you feel like, you know, it's a pendulum. It goes right and left and right and left. Do you feel like there are more sheriffs coming on board after being elected that are gun-friendly?
Yes, at least right now in this group of sheriffs that we have. Within our association, the California State Sheriff's Association, we generally do not address gun issues because it causes so much division within our own association that's not healthy for our association. So on gun matters, we usually don't get into it. But we can individually. And so what I did is I formed an informal group of sheriffs, and there's about 30 of them throughout the state. And on gun issues, I follow gun legislation closely and other gun matters, maybe some lawsuits coming up. And I push the information out to those sheriffs, whether to send their letters in to the legislators or get involved in amicus briefs. And it's pretty effective.
Excellent. Listen, I want to hear you talk more about that, but we have to go to break.
Right. Okay.
We'll be right back.
Use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, mail, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick erase it, write it, guide it, piece it, save it, load it, check it, quick rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag and drop it, zip, unzip it, lock it, zip it.
View 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I'd like to thank everyone for their patience on deliveries. Having the boys on the fire has been tough, but bear with us and we will get to you, I promise. Danny's driving truck also, so give the girls in the office a call and we'll take care of your delivery. Kathy's got more forklift tanks coming in any day now. Robin in Corning has barbecue bottles on the exchange program, so give her a call. She's got red diesel at the pump,
or deliveries to your farm, ranch, or orchards. Joe at Weaverville has been very busy with the loggers and the firefighters at all of our CFN and Visa card locks. And remember, we have card locks in South Reading at the Muse Yard, open 24/7. Northern Lights Energy, supporting our local families and firefighters. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
It's the 11th annual Dog Pound Poker Run benefiting Rescue Animal Coalition's Paws for a Cause. Saturday, September 19th, starting at the Wind River Resort and Casino, starting with an awesome buffet and featuring raffles, bands, dancing, fight games, vendors, and poker hand and joker hand prizes at each stop. Poker hand with a low hand of $250 and a high hand of $500. For pre-registration form and details, visit RuddingDogPound.com or call 710-6289. Sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino, Dr. Jack Finch, Shasta Regional Hospital, Outlander Creative, Lakeshore Inn and RV, America's Tires, Shasta Athletic Club, AC Guide Service, R&R Meats, Everyday Fitness, CR Gibbs, Crown Motors, Land Custom Seats, Outlaw Motorcycle, Sojourn Sellers, Westside Pet Hospital and Boarding, Record Searchlight, California Brewery, Ridge Bay Resort, and Mosley Family Sellers. The 11th Annual Dog Pound Poker Run benefiting Rescue Animal Coalition's Paws for a Cause. Saturday, September 19th, starting at the Wind River Resort and Casino. So why are you sitting there? Come on and ride.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Crack that whip. Nice, Bad Bob. Someone in the chat room. Loving your music, man. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Ted Lighty and Molly Kidd with our Sheriff Tom Sanko. Of course, Bad Bob Molly, who's bringing this segment of the show to the radio land.
Yes, we'd like to thank Cypress Square Barbershop over at 2463 Athens Avenue in Redding, California, 96001. The gentlemen do Carl's hair, so I know he gets it regularly. You can call them at 244-9478. And we'd also like to thank Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur in Redding, California, 96002, is our fireman's dealer of choice when it comes to selecting that new long gun or pistol. Having their gunsmith work on our guns or buying ammo, John Bastiani prides himself on customer service and always having what the customer needs in stock and at fair prices. Bastiani Arms, 222-8222.
So, at break, Sheriff, we were talking about the differences in the curriculum per county.
Right.
For CCWs. And, you know, right next door to us here in Trinity County, we call that a 4-hour county because they're a 4-hour no-shoot county. That means you can go to a Trinity County class for 4 hours without shooting and be issued a CCW. It's all on the sheriff. And I kind of have always thought, because I deal with so many counties, how nice it would be if you could, because it's a 12-hour class in Shasta County, if you guys could all get together and have one curriculum. But then you reminded me, if you do that, somehow the state's going to get involved.
Absolutely.
And you don't want them to do that, and that's correct.
And each sheriff, with their demographics and the makeup of their counties, whether it be a small rural county such as Trinity or a large county as in Orange County, a little bit different makeup of the communities and how the population is, a much denser population. So the sheriffs need some of that discretion of how they want their classes to go and put a little bit of a uniqueness to it. And so that works out good. Within the Bay Area, we talk about some totals, but I know within about 5 contiguous Bay Area counties that have literally millions in the population in their total, there's less than 200 permits issued out of the total out of all those counties.
Wow. And, you know, it can be very difficult. In Alameda County, they have a psych eval that you have to go to.
That's correct. And that psych eval costs the applicant about $150 or more.
Unbelievable. Well, I know I appreciate your philosophy and your the way your offices handle my students when
Thanks.
They come in. It really works well.
Our officer, Sean Paisley, does an outstanding job working with the public. I get a lot of comments on him. There are some changes. There's some bills on the governor's desk now that could affect CCW carriers. One of them is Senate Bill 707, and that right now a CCW carrier may and others are exempted from the gun-free school zone. And so a CCW carrier could carry within that 1,000 feet of a gun-free zone or on a campus as well. However, on the governor's desk is that Bill 707 that would remove that exemption there. And so in rural counties, if you're delivering kids to school, doing something, and you have it in your car, that makes you a criminal now because it'll be a misdemeanor violation. And how is gun-free zones worked out nationwide? We see our nation's military recruiters attacked. That's a gun-free zone because that's a excuse me. That's a essentially a federal institution, a federal building, so you can't bring guns into a recruiting area. Our schools and universities nationwide, and perhaps one of these CCW carriers could be a person's first line of defense before officers get there.
And it's already happened. It's, you know, CCW carriers have already saved, you know, hundreds and hundreds of lives across the nation because they're allowed to carry a firearm.
Right.
And guess what? They've already been through the licensing process. I mean, there's somebody.
And they're
that
backgrounded, and we've had, as far as I know, zero incidents with persons out committing crimes that are CCW carriers because of the backgrounding part of it to get cleared. Also, another bill, the 347, Assembly Bill 347, I believe, also makes it a crime to bring ammunition onto a school ground. And somebody says, oh, well, big deal. What about that? Well, again, in rural counties especially, maybe you went out shooting on Sunday, have a couple of three rounds in your pocket. You come onto a school grounds while you're taking your kids to school. That's now becoming a misdemeanor.
And what about, like, off-duty police officers?
Off-duty is it has to be within the scope of your employment, but they were going to remove retired peace officers that can carry concealed, but they put that back into the bill.
Because I would think, you know, if something's happening, I want to be near them, so I would hope that they would still be able to have their weapons.
Well, and that's the common sense call.
I mean, and that 340, you know what I mean? They're the most likely to be able to save somebody.
That 347 was also adding not only just the ammunition. There is a good part to it because if you steal a firearm, that used to be a felony. Then Prop 47 came along and it reduced it to a misdemeanor for guns under $950. So in that same bill, they're saying, hey, if you get convicted of a misdemeanor receiving stolen property and it was a gun, you're going to be excluded for 10 years or prohibited for 10 years from owning firearms. That's a good thing.
Yes.
But the ammunition, I don't think is a good thing.
I agree.
I was just thinking that gun-free zone could be translated to target-rich environment.
That's exactly right. Criminals are not going to comply with the law by their very nature and culture and makeup. And that's what it does say is, hey, there's no guns here, and it is an opportunity to not get confronted with or potentially get confronted by somebody with a gun.
You know, actually, Reading could be a great lab test for the idea that if you arm your residents, they're going to go out and shoot each other. You have a ton of petty crime on the streets in Reading. You just do. And nobody really, I mean, you have criminals shooting criminals, but as far as CCW holders, you don't get that. You don't have CCW holders becoming undisciplined and shooting at people.
No. In fact, we have about 6,600 permits for the county of Shasta, active permits. And that's a huge amount for a county our size.
So that means you said 90,000 voters, so 7%. Let's call it 7% of the county is permitted, and you rarely, if ever, hear about a CCW holder getting trouble. But you do hear a lot about CCW holders who become victims and then have the discipline to hold off presenting the firearm.
The shooting up in I think it was a Portland shopping mall. There was a active shooter there. A CCW holder saw the incident happening. He took concealment behind a garbage can or something, and the shooter saw the CCW carrier and saw the gun out, and then the active shooter committed suicide. And so the incident was resolved, but again, it was because of the presence of a person with a gun. In Sacramento, they have 8,000 permits, and of course about 1 million population. I don't know of any incidents occurring there by CCW holders illegally. But yet in Chicago, over the Labor Day holiday, there was 6 or 7 people killed with criminal gunfire and about 29 wounded. And those were not CCW carriers. I don't think there's there might be 0 to 1 gun shop in Chicago.
well, you know, the Supreme Court had to force them to provide a vehicle to apply for a CCW.
Correct.
And I'm sure that, you know, I'm sure that they don't issue too many CCWs, but they still have some of the highest gunfire rates in the nation.
Right, right. And that was that case was McDonald, the McDonald case, Chicago v. McDonald.
Right, right. Molly, before we go to break, who's bringing us our next session?
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mighty Fine Foods. They now have Dreyer's ice cream by the scoop, $1.69 each, or two for $3. Root beer floats, or any other kind of soda you'd like, $1.99, or two for three ices, starting at just $1.49. Mighty Fine has over 1,000 cold drinks, including 250 beers and over 350 liquor and wine choices. Daily deli specials under $5.
Say that 10 times.
Yeah. And barbecue every Friday. Mighty Fine is locally owned and operated back under original ownership since 2012. It's your one-stop shop on the way to the lake, 299 and Deschutes, Bella Vista, California. And they're great people out there, so I highly recommend them.
I love the way Mighty Fine Food smells. It's got that old-fashioned
yes.
grocery smell going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
I love that place. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Tri-Counties Bank presents Space Available. When Whitney, a Tri-Counties Bank teller, noticed property owner Roberta Savelli depositing rent checks, a little bell went off. She thought Roberta might want to learn about the commercial lending programs available at Tri-Counties Bank. So she walked Roberta over and introduced her to Ken Rory, a Tri-Counties Bank business relationship manager. After a thorough review, Ken and his astute loan team discovered better financing options for her rental properties and saved Roberta a bundle in loan payments, increasing her cash flow and allowing her to acquire more properties. Signs point to a thriving future. Commercial real estate financing, cash management services, space to grow. For personalized problem solving, switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Tri-Counties Bank, service with solutions. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 458732.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay-neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us, East Side Road off of 273.
Hey, it's Ernie and Dave with a major announcement.
Swap and Sell has moved.
Entertainment for the whole family.
Right. Swap and Sell has moved to 8 to 9 every Saturday morning right here on KCNR.
We talk about yard sales, garage sales, or if you're having a non-commercial fundraiser, join us 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Saturday.
We're here. That's Swap and Sell with Ernie and Dave right here on KCNR 1460 AM radio.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Start
starts off a little slower than I remember.
No, it really starts to take off. It's good, though. Come and get your love. The sheriff's at KCNR, 1463 Fire Radio. He's got something for you.
That takes us back to what year, Bob?
I believe
that was in the 70s, hit, I think.
Yeah, right about the time I was in high school. I think about 73, 74.
Yeah.
Of course, this is off the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, which brought, you know, this is your 70s mixtape.
I wasn't even born yet.
We know.
I was eight years old.
So, Ted, where are we going with the bottom half of the hour?
I want to talk to you about Measure A. Uh-huh. I want to talk to you about your wins with Measure A and if we had any losses, if you don't believe there, if it worked out exactly like you want to. Now, Measure A came out last year. The community voted for it. You had a lot, it really divided the community. You had groups even in the same family who were pro Measure A campaigning for it, and then you had some folks that were not interested in it at all. So,
and
how does it work
out? And for their reminder for the listeners, Measure A was a ballot measure. The Board of Supervisors took and made an addendum to their ordinance, marijuana growing ordinance, that said basically no outside of growing of marijuana. So it would be illegal, a misdemeanor, to grow marijuana outside in Shasta County, and it had to be in an accessory building, a barn, shop, garage. It had to be permitted. You have to have a residence on the property, and then there's sensitive areas like you can't grow within 1,000 feet of a school, church, youth facility, etc. And so some of the pro-marijuana people took exception to that, collected enough signatures to put it on the ballot, and then asked the voters, hey, what do you want? Do you want the more restrictions or not? And the voters overwhelmingly said, yes, we want more restrictions on the marijuana growing ordinance. Fast forward to today, and it has been effective. Anecdotally, talking with residents in the marijuana growing areas, western Shasta County, eastern Shasta County, they have seen a reduction in marijuana growing. They've seen 3 to 5 acre parcels go up for sale a lot more. They see a lot less of the supplies, such as hose, fertilizers, topsoils, coming into their community. And then my staff go out and fly a lot for the looking for marijuana, and they saw less marijuana growing outside on private lands than they have in many years. So that's a good thing. Did it solve all the problems? Absolutely not. We know that there's still marijuana growing outside. We've taken down some pretty big plots of it. And it is pushing some of it back onto the public land again, public land being like BLM, Forest Service, or the large timber companies in the area as well. So it does work out. There's a lot of violence that comes with it. We're coming up on harvest season right now. And so it wouldn't be surprised to see some armed robbery, home invasions, stabbings coming up as that comes about.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we all kind of understand harvest season now in the area. I was always amazed that I could go on Google Earth and find marijuana grows in the same place year after year.
That's not uncommon. The growers don't want to reinvent the wheel and put in a lot of money, although it is about money, a lot of money back into preparing the plot and doing all that work when they can do it year after year. The Google is about, usually for our area, is about a year behind. So then when you look at those photographs, they usually occurred about August of last year. But we have our historical sites as well. We plot them out, GPS them, have them on a map, and go there and predominantly find them. Generally, they're southern-facing slopes that are near water. So it's not rocket science.
Yeah, in Trinity County, they just arrested that couple up there that had been that had 2,000 plants on that piece of property. And then 3 months later, they had 700 after they took out the 2,000.
Mm-hmm. Probably grown by clones. Yeah,
so if they were already being charged with 2,000 plants, what would cause somebody to go in and just put in 700 more? Are they that disinterested in the law surrounding cannabis? Is that what's going on?
There's part of it. Knowing that law enforcement can't be everywhere all the time, and maybe they felt that their percentages of law enforcement coming back were lower, and plus money. When a plant produces about 5 pounds of processed marijuana, and you can sell that, if it's good quality processed bud, and you can sell that somewhere between $2,000 to $10,000 a pound outside of California, that ends up adding up to a lot of money with a few plants.
Yeah, so it's kind of worth it. Take the chance and move on.
Environmental crimes. There was a person out in western Shasta County. They did a lot of excavating, clear-cutting, terracing, did a lot of environmental damage. They were also, there's some special teams set up by the Water Quality Control Board and Fish and Wildlife. They eradicated it, prosecuted him under the federal, under the state environmental crimes, fined the grower about $180,000, and fined the contractor who did all the clearing and excavating $180,000.
Wow, so really kind of the puzzle here is finding out where it's going to hurt the most.
The environmental crimes are really going to whack people if they get fish and wildlife, Cal Fire coming in, because if you clear-cut an area with timber, that's called a timber conversion. That's a crime as well. And then the environmental crimes with silt and debris going into streams.
Yeah, I've always, being a big conservationist, I was always very concerned about the loss of wildlife and the use of poisons in the area.
Oh, the chemicals are horrendous. We saw a picture of a law enforcement officer in another county, and he had picked up a irrigation line and was hot and dirty and let the water run onto his arm. His arm started blistering up because of the chemicals that were upstream in a pool that they were using for that. That's a big taboo for us. Don't drink the water. Don't get it on you because you don't know where the chemicals are being injected into it. And then also some of these chemicals, one of them is called Furadan, and that's a rodenticide to kill mice and rodents. That's been banned in the United States. It is very deadly, and it has a pink-looking, kind of like Pepto-Bismol, if you will. And they put that at the base of the plants, and it's to keep the rodents from eating the base of the plants, or they'll sprinkle it around in pellet form for rodents and or make it into what they call a bear bomb, putting it into peanut butter to kill off bears. And it is so deadly, it's a systematic rodenticides. That means it can get absorbed through the skin, and the more you absorb, it stays in your system, and eventually, if you keep working around it, it can be dead. So the officers out in the field are oftentimes wearing personal protective equipment, PPEs we call them, to keep the exposure down.
Yeah, that is really incredible to me, and really every time we talk about this, it just makes me more and more committed to non-grows outside.
The impact on wildlife is huge. There's always, when the outdoor grows, especially on the public lands, there's the poaching of wildlife, such as deer, and the killing of deer, bear, rodents. Then you kill these off or you poison them. Of course, then the raptors, such as the hawks, pick up a mouse or a squirrel. Then they're affected as well. There's a rodent called a fisher, and those are very deep woods, very elusive animal, and those are dying off as well because of exposures to rodenticides.
Sad, just simply sad.
And on the phone line, 605-4567, we have Roberta. Good morning, Roberta.
Yeah, hi. I just had a comment because I'm just really irritated, not with you guys. I love you guys, and I do not like pot growers or drugs or, chemicals killing the wild animals, but how come we don't hear anything about all the animals that have died due to the environmentalists by them burning up all the woods? I would like to know how many animals have died and had their homes ruined, like Bambi and everything, by the environmentalists. And why aren't we talking about this, with what the Forest Service and the BLM are doing to our animals?
Thanks for calling in, Roberta. We do appreciate it.
It's irritating because they can do everything, just like the chemical spill in Colorado, and they're not called on it.
Correct. Now, to be clear, it's not like the U.S. Forest Service is burning up the lands.
It's due to their policies.
Yeah, and we'll
due to their they are directly responsible for not letting.
We'll continue to answer that here in a bit, Roberta. But
okay.
Yes, it's due to their policies of making it very difficult for timber harvest plans, and then there's the buildup of fuels into the forest. And then the Forest Service has a policy, basically, of let it burn until the fire goes out, and that causes a lot of decimation. I don't believe that the fire personnel, I've never seen estimates or counts on the killing and destruction of wildlife in a fire. Certainly it does occur.
And then the
impact to the environment for many years stays in place until the forest can rehabilitate. And then also with these fires that we've seen in Trinity County, if the timber is not harvested within a very short amount of time, then the timber is lost for its value. And then also the bug infestation can come in and cause problems within the forest, and then the forest replenishing itself as well. But thank you for calling in, Roberta. I really appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Excellent. You know, I think that also when you have a large fire like that, the wildlife moves around it quite a bit.
It can. I mean, some can get trapped in there, and they try to move out ahead of the fire as well, but I'm sure that they can get confused and succumb to the fire as well.
And one thing that is happening is that when we have, because my wife is in this business, when you moonscape an area instead of the more natural type fire that burns the understory out, when you take it down to mineral soil, what comes back is not pine trees because there's no seed.
Yeah, usually brush.
And the soil has been sterilized, and what recovers is, yeah, we come back with just thick brush.
Secession.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, burns out. All right, Porsche Free Fire Radio is brought to you by View 202, the only restaurant on the river for every Sunday brunch this July.
September.
Join us as our very own Linda Bott sings with her jazz ensemble every Sunday from 11 to 2 during the month of September. Fun drinks like the Manmosa and a yummy new menu courtesy of Executive Chef Dustin Heisler. Call View 202 at 226-8439 for reservations today, as this great event is sure to be sold out. Be right back.
Wellgate Sports Club invites you to their grand reopening gala on Saturday, September 26th, a day of food, fun, friendship, and fitness. From noon to 2 p.m. is open house with class demonstrations, live music, and refreshments. Take a guided tour of the Wellgate facilities. Experience five-star service, white glove cleanliness, and high-end amenities and programs, including an indoor saltwater pool and state-of-the-art workout facility. From 5 to 8 p.m., you'll walk the red carpet and get your picture taken by paparazzi as you enjoy the Wellgate Sports Club evening gala in support of One Safe Place. Sample exquisite cuisine from several local area restaurants, as well as the finest North State beer and wine featuring Mosley Cellars. Enjoy live music by the pool featuring Bob and Andy Off the Charts and Lindsay Thomas Band, or inside entertainment with DJ Bobette. The evening festivities include artists, door prizes, and a silent auction with all proceeds benefiting One Safe Place. Call 768-1205 and reserve your complimentary tickets today. And join us Saturday, September 26th at Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
From the exquisite artistry of the Moscow Ballet's world-class Russian dancers to the phenomenon of Blue Man Group, the Reading Civic Auditorium is showcasing some serious wow. The 15-16 theatrical season gives stage to the critically acclaimed and includes a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to three or more shows. The season hails the Moscow Ballet's breathtaking return of the great Russian Nutcracker the Friday evening after Thanksgiving. The festive Christmas fantasy continues with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas show and stunning debut of the Reading Civic's very own production of a favorite classic, Christmas Carol, A Love Story. 2016 soars to new heights with the pop culture phenomenon Flashdance the Musical. The devilishly enthralling theatrical production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, the wildly popular Blue Man Group, and astonishing family entertainment of Chris Ferrandi's Stunt Dog Experience. For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is Molly. Oh, we're going to listen to some music. Sorry.
No, go right ahead.
And my mom and dad were begging me to go. So I left to know that we went and hit the road. Me and Chris and all the stuff I own. I went out to find my soul and left the only comfort that I know.
Bob, you have a little bit of mellower bump music today.
Oh, it kind of comes and goes. That's little Neon Trees there.
Neon Trees, right on out of Seattle, right?
Believe so.
The nod to the rain outside. So welcome back to Free Fire Radio. You're listening here with Ted Leidy and me, Molly Kidd, and we're in the office with Tom Pazenko. So good morning, everyone. The weather right now is 54 degrees outside the station. It is sprinkling. We are high of 61. It's supposed to rain today all day, so hopefully that sticks.
In fact, when I was driving in for this show, it was a sprinkling coming on the way in, so the rain here came a little bit.
Perfect.
Great news.
Yeah, and the weather's brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are Warm Friend, locally owned and operated. They give senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793. And I'd like to give a shout-out to Wind River. They have their Stillwater Powwow coming up October 2nd through the 4th. It's only $3 to get in, and it's located at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. And I also want to mention their Charity of Choice Poker Tournament. That's this weekend, Sunday at 11 a.m. There's a $2,000 guarantee to any charity of your choice. The buy-in's only $50.
Wow.
I know, it's great. It's limited to 175 people, and all the proceeds, if you win, goes to your charity of choice. So it's a great thing to participate in, especially, you know, if you're involved.
And if you've never been to the powwow, take some time and go to a lot of culture, some beautiful, not only ceremonial dancing, but entertainment dancing, Native American entertainment dancing. Drum contest as well for the Native American drums. They have some vendors down there with arts and crafts of the Native American culture from all over the West. There's some vendors that come from Montana, Wyoming, and Washington, and all over the state and southern states as well. So it's a great event to take in down there.
Yes, and they're beautiful.
I think Carl's going to do that poker thing, isn't he?
You know, I'm not sure.
He supposedly has issued a challenge to several folks.
He issued a challenge to me.
Yeah. Ted, we have Billy Bob on the line.
Right on.
Hey, Billy Bob.
Billy Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, a quick question for the sheriff. And first of all, I want to mention that as a county resident for over 60 years, you are a great representative of our county and our rural heritage here, and I commend you for everything you do, because you are a great representative. You're out and about, you're receptive to everybody's comments, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks,
now the
Billy.
Thing is earlier in the week I was with Rob Pelletti, the captain, and
Chief.
I asked him how much a police officer, he stated that it cost him $150,000 a year for a patrol. And I said, well, wait a second. The sheriff's, you're overpaying your people compared to what the sheriff pays, but that's my question, is what is one of your officers cost?
With when you said that $150,000, don't think that that's the salary only. That is usually with salaries and benefits. And for our officers, we're paid a lot less, and predominantly counties throughout the state are paid less than police departments. But our officers are about, with salaries and benefits, right around probably $85,000, $90,000. You throw in a little bit of overtime. We use a round figure. If we're going to be adding people, we use a round figure of $100,000. So if you want to add 10 deputies, it's $1 million. Plus, they need five cars at about $60,000 each.
So that would be $300,000 for five cars. And so there's $1.3 million there to get, you know,
right. So
10 officers on the street.
How come the city of Reading is so much more expensive? And I was telling Paletti, I said, hey, these sheriff deputies, they're clear out in the boondocks.
We have a lot of rural area to cover, and you're right, and we're a lot less coverage there, spread very thin. That's when I was working the streets, that's why I became a canine officer, so I would have backup with me all the time with my canine partner. But predominantly, too, the cities all over the state of California are the main base of population and business, and so the revenues for sales tax, businesses, and different things, the revenues are a lot greater than in the rural counties, and then the counties, or any county, and then the counties are also responsible for running a jail. Cities are not. They're responsible for mental health, public health. They're responsible for the welfare programs in conjunction with getting money from the state and federal for welfare. But there's also a cost for the county to administrate that as well. And so there's a lot more cost that the county has that's required by law that the cities do not.
I understand all that. But my question is your guys are out there in the boondocks, and they've got much more jeopardy because they don't have a police station right around the corner. They can get backup. You guys are out there fending for yourselves, mm-hmm. and you don't get the money that these fancy police officers get. So anyway, I appreciate you.
They are our colleagues. They're our brothers and sisters. We work right alongside with them. We're fortunate. We have a great working relationship with Reading Police, CHP, Anderson Police Department, and if we ask for help, they're there. We've gone into Anderson to help out Anderson, come into Reading if they need some assistance.
Saying is your officers are much more vulnerable than these city guys, not making the money. So.
And they do need a raise. They're way behind. We lose a fair amount of officers, deputy sheriffs, that leave the sheriff's office to go to work for Reading Police Department because Reading PD does make a lot more money.
Like a great many fields of endeavor, military coming to mind, and possibly those who make a living in radio, you don't do it for the money.
No.
You do it because it means something to you to do it.
It's a calling, and you get it in your blood, and you're out there serving the community. And there isn't any job that I enjoy more than this job in law enforcement as I grew and developed in the organization and now serving the people. It is not about the money. You're exactly right. If we were in it for the money, we're in it for the wrong reason. And that usually holds true throughout the United States. Law enforcement officers, peace officers are not highly paid. It's about delivering a service, serving your fellow man. And we are the thin line between chaos and an uncivilized society and a civilized society as well.
Speaking of uncivilized, Sheriff, you still having problems with the jail? I mean, being full all the time?
Oh yeah. That's occurred since 1994. Prop 47 came along. That reduced a bunch of felonies to misdemeanors. That helped out a little bit in reducing the bookings coming into the jail. And also, as a result of less bookings, we've had less capacity releases. That's been cut in about half. But the jail's still full with other felonies, and we need a lot more bed space.
So, but in the big scheme of things, Prop 47 didn't do much because it just leaves those felons that were, it turns them into misdemeanors so you can leave them on the street, right?
Yes, and so don't get me wrong, when it's reduced to a misdemeanor, that doesn't mean they're not out committing crimes. They're committing crimes. Like it used to be a felony to steal a gun, any type of gun, whether it's worth $25 or $2,500. Prop 47 changed that to a gun less than $950 is a misdemeanor, and then we're trying to get that corrected, but that requires a vote. Possession of methamphetamine used to be a felony. Now it's a misdemeanor. And then there's plenty of drug-related crimes, not only due to the addiction, but if you have an addiction, you got to feed that addiction, and the way they feed it is through stealing.
And so do you arrest these misdemeanors? Do you arrest somebody for possession of methamphetamine?
They are arrestable, but generally they would get a ticket.
And then many times they don't show up, right?
That's correct. And that causes what we call an FTA, a failure to appear, which becomes a new crime in itself for failing to show up on your promise to appear by signing the ticket.
Got it.
So it causes more load for the district attorney, the courts, and everybody.
And this whole idea behind transient, behind a large transient or large homeless population is you really don't even know where to look for them.
Well, that's not entirely true. There are some pretty big encampments around. the police department with their code enforcement officer and Bob Brannon has done an excellent job, also with the help of the community, of identifying where these homeless encampments are, going in there and getting them cleared out and getting them to move along, also along the river as well. So they've done a great job with that.
Excellent. Listen, I want to thank you for coming in today.
Yeah. Love it. Excellent. Always.
Molly, thank you for being the co-host.
Heck
Molly
yeah.
Kidd, the lovely Molly Kidd. I'm Ted Leidy. You've been listening to Free Fire Radio. And as Carl would
you
like to say,
you have done an outstanding job, sir.
Thank you. But I want to do the sign off. It's a good guys against the bad. Down. Which one are you?
No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Hungarian police trying to stem the flow of migrants from Serbia fired tear gas and turned water cannons on hundreds of refugees trying to break through a border post. Serbia dispatched ambulances to the scene, but we don't know how many people were hurt. The Hungarian foreign minister says his country must secure its border.
We didn't really have a choice. The only way to defend such a long border, which is easy to be crossed, is a physical obstacle. With manpower, you are just simply cannot do it.
Meanwhile, a Hungarian court has convicted an Iraqi man of illegally crossing the border under new immigration laws. That man has been expelled from the country. Couple of political outsiders are atop the polls as GOP presidential candidates gather for their second debate. Correspondent Greg Clugston.
Donald Trump and Ben Carson have double-digit leads over the rest of the Republican